Thank you, Pastor Stewart. I can see the glimmer on the glow on his face. So happy, right? Such a happy man. I wonder if I was also have the same glow 30 years later. Blessed morning, everyone. First January 2023. Wow. The first day of the year, the first Sunday of the year. So quick, so fast. Now, as Pastor Stewart, because there are few new visitors with us this morning, my name is Aaron, if you do not know me. How did you spend last night? How many of you were out partying? Oh, you did not raise your hands. Okay. I guess probably those who are out partying are probably watching us at home right now. So if you're watching us at home and you're recovering this morning, I hope that you will have a splendid start, a fresh start to 2023. Now, I like what Pastor Jim mentioned earlier. He said there's no such thing as the same old. Don't have the same old. So I presume that you can have a new old. And as I was just thinking about, 2023, and Pastor Stewart was talking about resolutions, and I was just thinking, I remembered Pastor Stewart recently. You know, Pastor Stewart is quite a serious guy, right? For those of you who know him. And then he one day I went into his office, and he said, "Oh, Aaron, your tummy looks like it's getting bigger, huh? Ever since you joined Grace City." I say, yes, amen. Some of us might be thinking, yeah, resolutions. I started 2022 with 3 kg less. And in the course of the year, I more than multiplied and double back the gain as well. And some of you might be thinking, is it because he's got a good life? Let me share with you something about myself. When I'm very stressed, I eat a lot. Especially chocolates. 2022 was a little bit stressful. So how did 2022 go for you? Another year just went by just like this, right? Just like that, you know? What was the main theme for you in 2022? Maybe before we go further, let us just open this time with a word of prayer, all right? Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful to you so much, Lord. We thank you so much that we can gather here together as a family, as a Grace City family. Lord, we thank you that you have seen us through yet another year. And Lord, it is not just for our sake, oh Lord, that you have seen us through, but it is for your glory. That you have brought us through, O Lord, a journey in 2022 where we are able to behold your glory. We are able to draw closer to you. We are able to encounter your grace, experience you in new ways. And in ways, Lord, that we never imagined at the start of 2022. And yet, Lord, you have brought us through all the way onto the first day of 2023 right now. So, Lord, even as we come together with hearts full of thanksgiving, of gratitude, Lord, we just want to sit at your feet right now and ask that you would download and that you would share your word with us, that you would give us your word and let your word resonate in our hearts, let your word be written upon the tablets of our hearts, that we will open our ears and open our eyes, that this year, Father, we may see and behold a greater measure of your glory, a greater revelation of Christ, a greater revelation of your love. So here we are, Lord, we present ourselves to you here at your feet. Would you come and grace us with your presence here this morning? In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. For myself, for me, 2022, I would say that I would liken it to a little bit like being in a crucible, being in like a hot plate, you know, that you put into the furnace. There were quite a few things that the Lord brought me and my family through this year, which probably stretched us a little bit, tested us a little. But I can also say for sure that God has been very present. His grace has been very tangible, very evident in my life, in my family's life. And 2022, I would say it feels like it's like the preheating of an oven for me. You know, when you want to bake something, right, you will preheat the oven, right? So it's a little bit like the preheating of an oven. And I was just sitting and just reflecting and thinking that maybe 2023 is where the real baking actually starts, especially after January 29th. I wonder, you know, how many of you know the song or heard of the song, "I'm Living on a Jet Plane"? Don't know when I'll be back again. God willing, okay? God willing, 29th January. Now, with the crossing over into a new year, some of us might be looking forward to a new chapter. Some of us might be looking forward to a new beginning, a fresh start, or maybe a reset. Some of us perhaps are living the chapter of our lives. We are enjoying it so much, we want it to go on forever. But regardless of whether we are looking to a new start, or whether we want to have a continuation of this chapter itself, one thing we know for sure, we must make progress. We must move forward. We cannot afford to stay stagnant, nor to be idle. Amen? So the question is, how do we ensure, I don't think we can ensure, but how do we work in such a way that this new year, this new season, will truly be a new and a better year, a new and a better season? How do we do that? So let's look at what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and reading from verse 13. Paul says this, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Now in this passage, there are these three important principles that we can pick up from the Apostle Paul here. Firstly, we forget what is behind. Don't allow ourselves to be encumbered or to be held back, to be held down by past baggage, such as our mistakes, hurts, disappointment, regrets. Nor should we even allow ourselves to sit in our laurels or on our laurels and our achievements. That's the first thing, forgetting what's behind. Secondly, straining toward what is ahead, pressing on towards the goal. We need to have a posture and the discipline of pressing forward, a positive mindset of moving forward. And moving forward to what? What is the goal? The goal and the prize, the third thing, the goal and the prize being the upward call of God in Christ. So it's not just any earthly goal, but our eternal goal that is based and found in Christ Jesus, our eternal reward and our inheritance in Christ. Now, if I may add, Christ Jesus is actually our ultimate reward. Amen? Charles Spurgeon said this, "To those who find him, Christ Jesus, he is precious beyond expression." When we have Christ, we realize that we actually don't need anything else because nothing else compares to him. So he is our price. Now, as I look at this passage, Philippians chapter 3, there's the general idea here of progression, pressing on towards an eternal goal, towards eternity. And as I was reflecting over this passage and even the New Year's message, I was just thinking, oh, sometimes in the New Year, the preachers would like to talk about, oh, that's a new beginning. Oh, there's a new way in the desert. Oh, there's a new thing that God is doing, a great thing, and all of that. And I was just thinking, recently, a friend of mine actually gave me a gift. And it's a gift that I would probably never buy for myself. And it's a fishing rod. And he gave me a fishing rod. I was like, oh, what do I do with a fishing rod, right? You know, and I'm not really the kind of a person that like to, you know, get my hands all nice smelling with the squid or with the worms or with the prawns, hook it up and cast a line, tie the knot. No. But recently we went down south with my family and I brought the rod along. A friend of mine taught me how to fish. And we went to a jetty at one night and we fished and we caught about 19 or 20 herrings, the herring fish, about this big. Around about 19-20 because one got away. Just as it went onto the cutting board, about to send it to eternity, it went away. It got away. Bless that fish. But you know, the point is this. After catching that haul of 19 fish, we filleted it, we got it to the beach, and then we cook it on the stove. We pan fried it on the stove. And I tell you one thing is this. The fish will never taste sweeter than the ones that you caught yourself, right? If those of you who have ever caught your own fish, right? Okay, it's a simple fish, but it tastes so good. Everyone asks for more. What's my point? My point here is this. I'm very glad that a friend of mine passed me a rod and actually someone taught me how to fish. So right now, my wife says, save the money, don't go to Woolworths and buy fish, go catch some fish. We need it for dinner, you know, we need it for lunch. All right? It's so easy, you go and catch, you know. So the thing is this, what I want to do this morning is to share with you a tool. And it's to give you a rod, the fishing rod. So that this new year will not just be one message, but it's a new tool, or hopefully new tool for some, maybe not for others, but a new tool where you can use to make sure that every day that you live, every season that you go through, every year that you go through, will be a new and a good season, a season of growth and progress, all right? So, this morning, I'd like to share with you a life skill or a lifelong habit and encourage you to pick this up. It's called the practice of reflection or theological reflection, reflecting theologically. You see, it is important for us every now and then to pause, especially at the close of the day or at the week, the close of the week, or at the beginning of a new year, such as today, to reflect. When we reflect, we are allowing ourselves to listen. We are training ourselves to listen to God and to listen to the people around us whom God may be speaking through. We are also allowing, for those of us who are readers, we can also gain a lot of accumulated wisdom and experience from our Christian forebears, those who have traversed the world before, who have walked their journey and walked their miles before. Only when we are willing to listen and to listen with open hearts will we be able to make effective and meaningful progress in our lives. Now, a life without time for meaningful reflection is somewhat like the case of a hamster running on a wheel. You know, how many of you know that hamster running on the wheel thingy, right? You're just running and running and running. And this morning, I wanted to borrow my daughter's hamster ears and just, you know, illustrate and running. You're always running on the wheel and it's like, you know, there's no time, you know, for anything else. Oh, you're just so busy. Oh, what's next? You know, I've got this and I've got that and I'm running. Oh, it's you. Oh, hi, bye. You know, oh, it's you again. Oh, hi, bye. Oh, didn't just I pass you? Oh, right. Oh, that tree over there looks familiar. And I'm just still running. And I'm still running. But the hamster probably didn't realize that there's no real change around it. It's running on the wheel furiously, but no real change is happening. No real progress is being made, right? It's still on the same spot. Eventually, the hamster will get tired. and then it will suffer a burnout. And then it becomes jaded and becomes cynical. That's what you call the same old. Like what Pastor Jim said. And you might be asking a question, why am I doing so much? Why am I running so much? But nothing around me seems to change. Why am I doing so much but nothing's changing? You can run all you want, as furiously as you want, feel the wind in your hair, but there's little or there's no fruit. This is what I would call having the illusion of progression. It's just an illusion. Now, some of you might just say, hey, the hamster, Aaron, the hamster is just maybe taking an exercise by running on the wheel, just as how we humans will run on the treadmill, right? And run so furiously. But you get my point. So in this practice of theological reflection, I'm going to suggest to you three steps that I personally endeavor to apply in my own life as well. And first thing is to reflect. Secondly, to discern. And thirdly, to embody. Embody means to put it into action, to manifest it, the outworking of it. All right? So reflect, discern, embody. So the first thing that we look at is reflect. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15. It says, the simple believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps. What do we reflect on? We reflect on key significant events and issues, not about what did I have for lunch yesterday or dinner yesterday, but key significant events and issues that have happened either in the day or in the course of the year, both the positive and the negative ones. And we reflect across the different facets of our lives, our personal life, our family life, our work, our ministry. How should we reflect? Apply the right perspective. Appropriate the correct or the main focus, the main lens. You see, there are many ways that we can reflect. For example, we can ask ourselves this: how could I have earned more money from that customer? Or we might say, should I have bought that house or that car or that boat instead of the other one? Or perhaps we might even reflect, how could I have won that argument or that fight in a more convincing way? Hopefully that's not us, yeah? Hopefully. So you see, there are many ways that we can think about things. What should be the right perspective and the main perspective for us? As disciples of Christ Jesus, there are a few things that we need to take note of. One is our primary identity, and two, our primary purpose. Now, our primary identity is that as followers of Christ, we are children of God. And our primary purpose, we are to serve and to glorify God by being the salt and light of the world and being His representatives, His image bearers in this world. We are not supposed to have compartmentalization or separation between our spiritual life and our physical life. As children of God and as followers of Christ, every aspect, every component, every facet, every compartment of our lives are meant to be an outworking of our faith. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, the Apostle Paul reminded the Colossian Christians that when Christians are baptized in Christ, our lives become hidden in Christ, so that it is no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. So what this means is that we should not be living our lives apart from our faith, nor should we be living our faith only on specific days or time slots through the week, or on special occasions in the year such as Easter and Christmas. We are first and foremost children of God, disciples of Christ Jesus. Then we are a parent, a grandparent, a teacher, student, a CEO, an employer, or a retiree. This means that The nature, the image, and the glory of God is to be revealed, is to be exemplified and worked out in and through every of our earthly titles and roles. You got that? Yeah? Our primary identity is that we are children of God. We are meant to bear His image and His light in this world through all the roles that God has given us. All right? This is what it means to bear His image. We glorify God in everything we do and at all times, all occasions, not only on Sundays. So as we reflect on the various events and situations and issues over the course of the year, our key approach, our key lens would be, as children of God, are we knowing God in a more intimate and deeper way, individually and as a family? Can we say that our faith in God has deepened as a result of the event or the events over the course of the year? As image bearers of God, how are we being changed more and more into the image of Christ? How am I revealing the image of God, of Christ, in my family, to my family, my spouse, my children, my parents, or at school, to the classmates, to the teachers, to even the school support staff, such as the gardener or the cleaning staff? Or at the workplace, how am I revealing God and showing the image of God to my colleagues, to my superiors, to my clients? As servants of God, how am I living out my God-appointed mission in my workplace, in my school, amongst my friends? Are we stepping out or stepping up our service unto God and to others in the course of the year? These are questions that we need to think about. A second question that we need to ask ourselves when we reflect is to look for any themes or events that are recurring, that has been coming up time and again through the year. Now, if there are no recurring themes and events, don't force it. It's cool. Don't worry about it. But if there are recurring ones that are coming up time and again, that's what we are looking out for. So, for example, we would ask ourselves, have I been asked to conduct more trainings at my workplace or to share more in church, for example? Have I been receiving certain prophetic words of a similar theme for myself through the course of the year? Am I, or maybe we may ask ourselves even this question a little bit deeper and more personal. Have I often been getting into quarrels with people or with my family in the course of the year? If so, what are the nature of these events? How did these events and issues come up? Is there a common theme or an underlying issue across all these events? Because recurring events usually indicates areas where attention is required. So as we reflect, it is helpful to note these points down, and then we proceed to the next step. You're okay so far? Yeah? And the second step that we do after reflecting is we discern. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "So give your servant a discerning heart." Now, this was the prayer of King Solomon when he succeeded his father, King David, as king over Israel. King Solomon, he did not ask for wealth, he did not ask for honor, neither did he ask for long life. But he asked for a discerning heart. What is a discerning heart? It is a heart that hears, that listens, and obeys. So, when we approach discernment, we are asking questions such as, what is God showing us? What is God saying to us? What is God calling us to do? Now, I would like to propose to you three sources, just three out of a few, but three sources that we need to listen into. And the first being the Word of God itself, the Bible. Two, people around us, and three, events, the events and the things that are happening around us. Let's look at the Bible. When we listen to God, we got to listen primarily to what God says to us through His Word, because that's the primary place that God will speak to us, His Word, right? First and foremost, if you want to know what is God's will, what is God's purpose, what is the message, what's the thing that God wants to say to us, go to His Word. The Word of God is like a mirror to us. It reveals, and it does not hide, and it does not lie. Right? How many of you know that the mirror usually does not, a good working mirror does not lie? I looked at it this morning. What are the principles and the purpose of God, or even the truth of God, that God is showing us in relation to the events? Is God calling us to step out in faith? Is God calling us to repentance and submission in an area in our life, or in certain areas in our life? Is God showing us what we need to do, or the specific areas that we need to pray for and intercede regarding those events? Let's ask ourselves that as we read the Word. The second thing that we look at is we listen out to the people around us. But you see, it's not just any person around us. People who are trusted, people who are God-fearing, who are God-loving, who are Bible-believing, basically, people whom we are able to trust to encourage us, to support us, to inspire us in our faith walk. Now, as much as God will speak through His Word, God will also speak through the people around us in whom His Spirit dwells within. Not just the pastor or the teacher, but in whom the Spirit of God dwells within. That's why we are gathered together as a community, as a church, because we encourage one another and we spur one another on with the Holy Spirit, or through the Spirit that's living through us, in us and through us. Amen? And this is what we do. If what people shares with us aligns with the Word of God, if it agrees with another one or two persons who are telling us the same word on the basis of two or three witnesses, and if there's a resonance and there's a peace that accompanies the word, then we can commit that word to God and proceed forward in that direction in faith and by faith. Let me say that again. If what people shares with us aligns with the word of God, if it agrees with another two or three other witnesses, and if there's a resonance and a peace within us that accompanies it, then we commit that word to God and proceed forward in faith and by faith. Now, of course, there is the ever danger of God's word being used and quoted out of context, being contrary to the intention and to the heart of God. Take, for example, when Satan tempted Jesus during the 40 days in the wilderness, Satan actually quoted from the book of Deuteronomy, or rather, I should say, he misquoted from the book of Deuteronomy. He attempted to twist the word of God for personal gains. But Jesus then countered those temptations also using the word of God, but this time in its right context. This means that we will need to study and know God's word so that we will know His nature and His heart. We will need to know His word well enough to be able to discern rightly God's voice and His word for us. There's no shortcut about it. Remember, God would usually speak to us directly and give us His word first. Then He will confirm His word through the lips of others. So He will speak to us first through either the word of God, or He will drop it into our hearts. Then He will confirm it through the lips of others. Unless, of course, we have become hard of hearing. And then maybe God might use a donkey to speak to us, like the prophet Balaam. How do we become hard of hearing? We become hard of hearing if we constantly reject the voice and the word of God over time. And this was what happened to Israel during the 400 silent years, where there was no further prophetic word, there was no further revelation from God to Israel during those few hundred years. Why? Because they chose time and again not to listen and not to obey all his words. May we never end up in that same predicament. The third thing that we listen into, events around us. Observe the events that are happening around us. Are we noticing that God is opening doors or that he's availing opportunities to us in a certain area or a certain direction? Or are there seemingly closed doors, so-called missed opportunities in certain areas and directions? Note that whatever is of God, there are usually two elements in them. One, it will be accompanied with his peace. And two, it will require us to exercise our faith. Peace and faith. We have to be very careful that we do not attempt to engineer a situation or an outcome. That means try to make things happen for ourselves, and then we tag the name of God to it and say, this is God. We have to be careful that we do not do that. Because God opening the door for us is quite different from us trying to open the door using his name. Let me say that again. God opening the door for us is quite different from us trying to open the door using his name. So if we are noticing that there's an alignment of God's personal word to us, that people around us are saying, those trusted people are saying the same words to us, and there's a confluence of events that flow in tandem with the words that we have received, then we take the next step forward again, prayerfully and in faith. It must always be in a posture of prayer. Prayer and faith. And so we reflect, we discern, and the third thing that we need to do then is to embody. Embody means we translate all of whatever that we have discerned into action. Let's look at James chapter 1, reading from verse 22. James reminded the Christians then, and says this, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. Embody. This is perhaps the most critical and pivotal point of translation in this whole process of reflection. This is also the point where I suspect that many of us Christians, we get hamstrung in our faith and in our walk, in our spiritual growth at this point, where we fail to embody. So there are two questions that we need to address in this step here of embody. One is, what are the action steps that I can take to move forward, to do what God is showing us or calling us to do? Action steps. It is one thing to discern that we need to forgive someone, but it's quite another thing to actually start releasing forgiveness and treating the person with kindness. It is one thing to know that God is calling us to step out in faith or to step up in our ministry. It is quite another thing to actually step out of the boat, out of our comfort zone. It is one thing for God to know that God is calling us to remain faithful in our job, in our church, in our marriage. But it is another thing to actually persevere in quiet acceptance, in faith, and to persist in prayer while being steadfast and faithful. The point is this. If we do not take concrete steps in tandem with whatever that we have discerned, then nothing will really change. There will be no real progression, no growth. The second question that we need to ask in this step is, after thinking and mapping out what are the action steps, then I will ask myself, what are the support measures do I put in place to ensure that I stay focused, that I stay true and faithful to the call? A boat or a ship that set its direction and its course at the onset of its journey will very likely veer off course throughout its journey due to the influences and the tossing of the wind and the waves. Or it may be like the captain of the ship trying to follow the stars, but then it lost track of which star it is in the host of all the other stars. Personally, I have friends whom I know are honest. My wife being the most honest of them all, brutally and ruthlessly honest. They are able to point out my blind spots, to pray for me, to pray with me, to encourage me, and to counsel me along the way. And whenever I have my quiet time with the Lord, or I go for my walks, or when I'm sitting on the throne, you know that favorite time of downloads, okay? Those are my favorite times for me to reflect on a situation or an issue, to hear from God, what's God to say for us or for me. So all of these will help me stay on track in my walk with God and in doing what He has called me to do. What about you? Are there people with whom you're walking with who will hold you accountable and who will support you in your faith walk? Do you also have a regular habit or practice of doing reflections or discerning what God might be saying to you or showing you? Reflect, discern, embody. Now you might be wondering, what if my discernment is wrong? How can I be absolutely sure that I heard God correctly? How many of you have asked such a question before? Or all of you have got greater faith than me? Because I personally think that this is a very real and a valid concern, and I've wrestled with this question many, many times, even up to even now. I want to share with you the good news here. The good news about it is we will never actually truly know for sure. We won't. According to Teresa Blythe is actually a spiritual director with many years of ministry experience. And this is what she shares. True discernment is always done in hindsight. We will always only know if we have discerned rightly with hindsight, right? And that is why the basis of our Christian walk and our belief is faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, faith is the confidence in what we hope for. The confidence in what we hope for. The assurance about what we do not see. Or in another translation, the evidence of things that we do not see or have. Faith. If we are able to know for sure, if we can actually see the full blueprint, we can even engineer the outcome of the plan ahead of time, then it does not require faith. But we can only grow in our relationship with God and in spiritual maturity as our faith grows. We can only grow as our faith grows. God desires to take all of us on a journey with Him where He will build and He will grow our faith. When we walk with Him, when we depend on Him one step at a time, every step of the way, that is where we will grow in our knowledge of Him. That is where we will grow in our relationship with Him. Because we will learn how to trust Him more. We'll have greater confidence in Him. You can only know a person better by walking with that person. Right? And walking step by step, but going the journey. And that it is. That it is how it is with our journey with the Lord. So, we should treat this whole process of embodiment like an adventure. Take it as an adventure. And this is what I read again from Teresa Blythe, where she shared something that I felt was quite reassuring and encouraging, and I would like to share it with you. Teresa says this, trust that God will meet you where you are and will take you where you need to go in this adventure. Trust that He will meet you where you are. You don't have to reach out and try to overcome 5 steps to reach Him. He will meet you where you are if you would allow Him to and to take you on this journey like an adventure. And so with that, we can walk our journey of faith with our good Heavenly Father without fear. As long as we hold His hand, walk with Him, and follow His lead. Not we leading Him, but He leading us. I would like to share with you right now my personal testimony, or the testimony of my family. Some of you might have already heard this testimony of quite a few times. If this is you, would you please bear with me this morning, and let this be your first act of forbearance and patience in 2023. Okay? Our move, my family's move from Singapore to Perth. Shortly after God has called me into full-time ministry, where I have left my job in the marketplace in 2016, we felt that the Lord was calling us out of a comfort zone to leave Singapore to go into a foreign land, and specifically to Perth. But we've got no family, no friends here back then. We didn't know anyone, we did not study here, did not work here before, foreign land. We felt that God was calling us to apply for permanent residence. And frankly, I was not ecstatic about this. I was not ecstatic of this idea. There was a lot of resistance on my part, and I was even praying against it, doing spiritual warfare. But yet, over time, my wife and I, we decided to submit ourselves to the Lord and to commit this idea to the Lord. We will do the necessary applications, we will do the background work, but we agreed on this one thing. We will not engineer anything to produce an outcome. We will not engineer the outcome. We agreed that if there was any closed door, any hiccups that happened along the way, the ball drops, we will just walk away from it. And that's it. So we prayed constantly about this idea, both individually and as a family. We got our daughters involved as well. We got our daughters to discern along with us. And to keep our eyes open to what God might be saying regarding this idea. Then in less than 6 months, our PR application was approved. And so did the teacher registration for my wife as well. There was a series of other events and words that appeared that seemed to concur with this move as well. We even came to Perth in 2017 for a prayer walk and a recce to sense if this is where God is really calling us. And I remember doing a prayer walk, like a spiritual retreat in Chittering itself. And that was my first time doing bushwalking, not knowing anything. And I asked God to show us what is it that He has in store for us. And twice, He showed me a blank piece of paper. I asked, and so with some prayer, I sensed that God was calling us on a journey of faith. Individually, but more so actually as a family. He will lead us and He will reveal to us one step at a time. As a family, we are to hear Him, we are to trust Him, and obey. We are called to be a family on a mission. And so, in 2018, we left our family, our friends, we left all the comforts and the securities back in Singapore, and we relocated to Perth in faith and in obedience to God and His calling for us. Fast forward to 2020 and 2021. Now, I was wondering at that point in time, after 3 years being here in Perth, I was wondering if God would actually be calling us back to return to Singapore, which quite frankly was actually what I was hoping. But then, a series of events happened in 2021, which again took my family and I on another significant journey of faith and discernment. And eventually, the outcome of that discernment journey was our transition into Grace City Church. There were a few other doors that the Lord has opened and has led us into even as well. So with whatever that God has already currently entrusted into our hands to do, it is now quite apparent to us that our season here is not quite done yet. And so once again, we decided as a family to obey God's call. And so here we are, even though we have to cross the river every time we come to church. I wonder if that is a prophetic act in itself. So you see, in the move from Singapore to Perth, and even into the transition into Grace City Church, as a family, we have reflected on the events that God was taking us through. We have discerned what was God calling us on this journey of faith and in this season of our lives. We discern that every step will involve a stretching of our faith, because you see, our faith will only grow when it's being exercised and when it's being stretched. And thirdly, we have, as a family, chosen to embody our desire to grow deeper in faith and in our walk with Christ our Lord, in putting His word and putting our faith into action, and in so doing, to bring glory to His name in and through our journey. As a church, this is also what we will all continue to do as leaders and as a congregation. We will be reflecting, we will be discerning, and we will be embodying. We want to recognize and discern what God is calling us as a church to do or not to do, and to flow with His plan, to flow with His will, in His time and at His pace. As a church, we want to flow with God's plan, His will, in His time and at His pace. How about the rest of you? How will the 2023 chapter look like for you? What will be your story in 2023? What will you be living for in 2023? Will it carry an eternal value? Will it bear a fruit that will last into eternity? Now, we may not know what lies ahead of us, or how many more years there is ahead of us even. But God, who is the beginning and who is the end, He sees and He knows everything. And with each passing year, there's one thing that we know for sure. We are closer to the return of Christ. The question is this: are we paying attention to what He's showing us and calling us to do? Are we submitting ourselves to Him, flow with His perfect plan, His will and purpose for our lives? When we choose to walk with Christ Jesus, it will require us to submit ourselves to Him as Lord, to follow Him, to trust Him, and to walk by faith. And only by walking by faith, in faith, by faith, and in submission to Christ our Lord, will we truly encounter and experience the depths of God's goodness and His awesome love. we will experience the riches of the grace of our Lord Jesus. And we will experience the sweet and the empowering fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Only when we walk with Him by faith. So brothers and sisters, as we start this new year, 2023, would you take time to reflect over the events over the last year or the last few years? Take time to discern what is God saying to you? What is He leading you into? What is He inviting you into? To embody, will we actually put into action what God is saying to us? Let this year truly be a new chapter for all of us, individually and as a household, as a church. Let this year, 2023, be for us a fresh chapter of positive growth and progression, a chapter where we encounter and experience God in fresh and new ways, and a chapter that marks a turning point or a milestone in our lives, so that in all of these, Christ Jesus our Lord may be revealed and glorified in and through us. Amen. Amen. I'd like to invite the worship team up, please. As the worship team is coming up right now, many people have actually said this. You say, Aaron, you are just a teacher, very teacher-like. Interestingly, teaching was never on my career list. It was not even on my list. But in my job, in my career, the Lord actually called me into teaching, so I'm a trained teacher, and I realize how teachery I am. So I'm going to ask you this, as the worship team are taking their place right now. What are the three things? What is the fishing rod that's given to you this morning? The three things that you need to do, that we need to do. We need to
reflect.
We need to
discern.
And we need to
embody.
Good. I'll give a star to each of you, a sticker. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much once again. Lord, you are for us. You are our good Father. And you desire to see us grow. You desire to see us flourish. That you have given your life into us and you desire to see your life come to its fullness, to the full measure and the stature of Christ within us, so that we may bring glory to your name, so that we may reflect the light of your glory. Father, we pray that as we start this day, as we start this year, as we start this season, this new chapter, help us by your Spirit to reflect over the things that you want us to focus on. Help us to discern your voice, to discern your heart, to discern your message for us in the midst of all of these events and issues, so that we may know clearly what you are calling us to do and what you are inviting us into. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to have the willingness and the courage to respond and to act upon your word in humility, in faith, and in obedience. Lord, we desire that 2023 will be a glorious year of turning points, of breakthroughs and healings and reconciliations, restoration, salvation, milestones in the lives of every Grace City member and family here. We desire, Lord, that the name of Christ our Lord be magnified and glorified to an even greater extent in the year ahead, not just in and through our lives, but also in and through our church, your church, Lord. So we ask all of these, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.